Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us as we come to look at your word to understand what it means for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to talk about leadership. How can we develop it in ourselves? How can we recognize it in others? But first, let me ask you, do you want good leadership in your church? I trust you all said yes, an emphatic yes. Well, let me tell you how you can get it. Choose leaders who've been called to leadership by God. Choose leaders with courage, devotion, and obedience to God. And be people who in turn are obedient, courageous, loyal, and encouraging of your leaders. Let's look at today's passage to see how these three sets of conditions come out in the history of Joshua. The first thing to notice is that leadership here involves a threefold partnership between God, the leader, and the people. Let's first think about God. First, there's the call of God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving them to the Israelites." Moses is gone. God has said he can't enter the promised land, and so the Israelites need someone new to lead them. There'll be very difficult years ahead as they seek to conquer the land and to drive out its pagan inhabitants. And so God chooses Joshua. Now, if we'd read through the book of Numbers before we came to Joshua, we would have read how before they entered the land, Moses sent 12 spies to check it out. 10 of them returned saying they could never do it. But Joshua and Caleb came back saying of course they could, because God was with them. Well, the people didn't listen to Joshua and Caleb, so they spent another 40 years wandering around the desert until every one of them had died. Except for Caleb and Joshua, that is. And so now God appoints Joshua to lead them. And as he calls him, he gives him a promise. He says, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and the Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites to the great sea in the west shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life." How would you feel if God said something like that to you? You'd feel indestructible, wouldn't you? It'd be like a great weight had been taken off your shoulders. Wow, I thought God had given me an impossible task. Now I realize he's going to look after me. He's going to give me success. Actually, God has said something like that to you. Listen to the words of 1 Peter 1. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy he has given us an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." And again in 2 Peter chapter 1, "His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." We're protected by the power of God. His power has given us everything we need for life and goodness, godliness. Wow, what a relief. See, Joshua was promised the power of God just as we are. Verse 5, "As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you." So the great thing about being called to be a leader in God's church is that you don't have to depend on your own ability or your power or your cleverness. God promises to supply all the power you need. Of course, that doesn't mean you don't have to do anything to make your leadership work. Look at what was required of Joshua. The first requirement for Joshua was courage. He was about to lead an army into occupied territory. This was to be a difficult job even if God was with him. There'd be battles and death. There'd be fortresses and giants to contend with. And only a brave leader would be able to carry it through. So God tells him, verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous." Now maybe you wouldn't be quite so keen on being chosen as a leader if you heard that lot of words. See, there's always this balance in the Christian life, isn't there? God tells us he'll be with us and look after us. But he also tells us to be strong and courageous. Philippians 2 puts it like this. This is Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do you see that? Work out your own salvation, and God is at work in you, enabling you. It's a double-sided coin, isn't it? And not only is he to show courage, but he's also to show devotion to God. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. If he's to remain a faithful leader for God, it's vital that he knows how God wants him to act. So he's to meditate on the book of the law day and night. We too are encouraged to meditate on God's word. We're encouraged to use it to teach and admonish and correct us. This is why we have Script Union notes. If you want to be a godly leader of God's church today, the reading and meditating on Scripture is just as important for you. So let the Holy Spirit lead you as you read and study God's word. Finally, it's not enough to just study God's word. We need to obey it. And so God continues. Verse 8, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. Again, there's a promise here, isn't there? If he's careful to act in accordance with God's word, God will make his way prosper. He'll have success. So leaders need to show courage. They need to be devoted to God and the study of his word, and they need to be obedient to that word. And if they do that, God will be with them. But the other great thing is that if you're a leader of God's people, you're not on your own. Not even from a human point of view. See, the third partner in this leadership process is the people themselves. Joshua knows that his leadership will depend on their willingness to follow him. Leaders aren't much use if no one follows them, are they? In fact, you could say that the true test of a leader is just that. Are people following? So his first act as leader is to call the tribes of Reuben, Gad and Manasseh, who've been given land on the east side of Jordan, to come and follow him into the promised land to help the other tribes conquer it. He says, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. Moses had given them a command which they're now to follow. Secondly, their obedience would require them to show the same sort of courage that Joshua had to show. They were going to be fighting the battles in the front line. Some of them would die in the process. So they too needed courage. So he says, verse 14, but all the warriors among you shall cross over armed before your kindred and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your kindred as well as to you. See, the Lord might be giving them the land, but they'd have to march in the army to take it away from its inhabitants. And unless they showed courage, they'd fail. Well, at this early stage of their history, they passed the test. They may not always do this well, but at this stage, they gladly pledge their loyalty to Joshua as their leader. They say, all that you have commanded us we will do, wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. And whoever rebels against your orders and disobeys your words, whatever you command, shall be put to death. You can't ask for more than that, can you? Not that I suggest that we put anyone to death today. One of the things we should expect in the church is that God's people will show loyalty to those that God has placed over them. That they'll accept their leadership and go where they lead. And that they won't work to undermine that leadership. And this is something you don't always get in secular organisations. And I guess the events around the federal election bear that out. But within the church, loyalty to those that God has placed over us is paramount. Finally, they offered Joshua their encouragement. They say, verse 18, only be strong and courageous. They encourage him to take God at his word, to step out in faith and lead them into the promised land, even if it is a tough job that he's embarking on. You know, one of the joys of ministry is when someone comes up to me and encourages me. And that happens in many ways. Sometimes by word, sometimes by telling me something that they've observed or something that someone has done in response to my ministry. But it's so important. Leadership of the church is one of the toughest gigs going, and we need all the encouragement we can get. But what about you? If leadership is a three-way partnership, how are you playing your part? Are you one of those that God has called to be a leader? If you are, then remember that God has promised to be with you to empower your ministry. If you are, then you need to lead with courage. You need to remain devoted to God. You need to be a student of His word and obedient to His leading. And what about those who work under a leader? The success of our mission hangs or falls on people who follow their leaders, people who show courage in following where their leaders take them, who remain loyal even when the going gets tough, and especially when the leader takes them where they're not sure they want to go. And it may hang or fall on people who provide encouragement to their leaders to keep on leading them. You know, nothing has changed in 4,000 years. God still calls out people, both ordained and lay, to lead His church. It still requires courage to lead. We still need to be devoted to God and His word. And we still need people who will follow, give their loyalty, and encourage us as we lead. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us in taking part in leadership in the church. Whether we're leaders or members of the congregation who are following our leaders, we pray that you would help us to be faithful to you, to be devoted to you, and to be loyal to both you and to those you have put in charge of us. We pray that you would give us the ability to serve you well. In Jesus' name, amen.